This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell.
And I'm Rick Moore.
And in today's program, it looks like a glancing blow from that big northeast snowstorm heading our way.
Hallelujah. In Gloucester, more homes planned on the back shore.
Okay. Well, we got a few stories to discuss here. Plus, also coming up in our program, we have Brian LaPierre. He's the new Lynn Counselor-at-Large who just had his first meeting earlier this month, elected in November, topped the ticket, actually, got the most votes of anybody running in that councilor-at-large race in November, and he'll join us. And, man, is he busy with a bunch of things. So we'll be hearing from Brian LaPierre as part of our program here today on North Shore Today. And in Gloucester, Rick, there's a few stories.
Well, you know, there's some controversy about building on the back shore, on the water side of the back shore. It's about a 2.5 mile stretch from one end of the Cape to the other in terms of Gloucester property. It goes from Good Harbor Beach out toward Eastern Point. And another Atlantic Road property owner has sights set on a major development for Gloucester's back shore, according to Ray Lamont. A Framingham-based company, which owns the former Ocean View property, has filed plans with the city to build 29 units of housing, comprised of a mix of single-family homes, duplexes, and condominiums. The plans call for the use of the circa 1910 hotel for 5 condos overlooking the Atlantic. So I'm sure that's going to stir the pot a little bit more up in Gloucester.
And as
up in Rockport.
I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, up in Rockport, they are planning a new DPW building, according to the Gloucester Times. Selectmen are preparing the budget for fiscal 2013, and one of the big ticket items is a proposal for a new building for the DPW. Plans called for constructing the building at a cost of between $7.2 million and $8.8 million.
Well, a couple of things that we've been talking about here as you know, I look at the front page of the daily item out of Lynn today is that we've talked about financial literacy, and there's a program that is I don't know if it's ongoing or, but it's getting some publicity in Lynn. It says Lynn kids learn common and sense. Sense is spelled C-E-N-T-S, just as in the penny. And I'm helping you along, folks, since you can't see the headline. And helped by the St. Jean's Credit Union, but they're bringing some financial literacy into the schools in the area, not just Lynn, but I also think in Revere as well. So that sounds like a good program. We also, an issue that we have talked about a number of times with Thomas Younger, who's the town manager in Swampscott, is the turf at Bloxage Field in Swampscott. And it appears that the, according to a Gail Colley story in today's paper, that the town is moving closer to formulating a RFP, that's the request for proposals for services for the artificial turf field at Blossick's Field, which would be approved by town meeting in May. So I know there was a fundraising amount that needed to be raised, and apparently that is pretty much on target. I know they were very close the last time that we met with Thomas Younger back in December. So we will probably try to meet with him very soon later this month as well. And there's one other note here I wanted to share with folks. Swampscott native Joe Valley III and a member of the group, let's see, what is it called? See, I'm not too familiar with this group. The musical group Wet will be on tonight's The Musical Guest on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Valley, a 2006 graduate of Swampscott High School, has been creating music since he was a young boy. His uncle was a drummer in the band called Neptune. And Joseph Valley Jr. and Joseph Valley's father have a photo of him. So they have a photo of them all together here. But apparently he's a kid out of Swampscott who's going to be on the Tonight Show tonight. That's as part of the musical guest.
We needed a successor to David Lee Roth out of Rockport, didn't we? I mean, out of Swampscott.
There you go.
I don't know why I was said Rockport. But yeah, David Lee Roth, wasn't he rumored to be out of Swampscott?
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. And those are some of the stories here. Stories on marijuana dispensaries and so on. Those things are popping up. Those stories are all around as well and so on. So that's what we got. And we have a few videos up there as well. You know, yesterday, Rick, we touched on the presidential primaries. Discuss a little bit about that. Now, you know, yesterday we talked about a poll in New Hampshire where This was a maybe an outlier poll that had Trump at 27% in New Hampshire, and then the number two guy was John Kasich with 20, the governor from Ohio with 20%, just 7 points different, and you know, narrowing the gap. But another poll came out yesterday or last night, and it's back to Trump in the 30s, and then I guess Cruz number two at 14%, and these other guys down at 10%. So that one. Maybe that one that we mentioned yesterday was a little bit of an outlier. And we also have some videos up on the website. We haven't done it the last couple of days, but getting in the political mode here with the Iowa caucuses coming up soon and then the New Hampshire primary. We've got Hillary featured in them, or at least in two of them. We got Hillary commercial outtakes. This is Hillary doing her television commercials and her outtakes from them. And you can take a look at that. And we also have... Hillary Clinton speaking with the so-called Donald Trump, who is Jimmy Fallon from, I think that's from several months ago, still kind of holds up. And then flashback, we have Dana Carvey with Conan, and Dana does a lot of presidential impressions. Actually, he's really good. So we have those three videos up on our website, kind of a little presidential primary feel to the videos here today.
Sounds good. My favorite was when President Bush the First, the elder, was on Saturday Night Live doing Dana Carvey doing George H.W. Bush. That was amazing.
Yeah, he does. You know, one of the things, Dana, I've seen him a number of times. One of the things he does is he tells you how he kind of creates those impressions. He does it a little bit here because he does an Obama impression in this video, but he kind of takes little things, and whether it's a beat or a syncopation or whatever, and how he gets into there, how he starts to do them. That in itself is pretty funny. He doesn't, I think his explanation for Barack Obama, how he talks, and the difference between him and George W. Bush in this one is okay as well. But anyway, he's a funny guy, and this is a little bit interesting. So it's got the presidential theme, and we thought we'd need to get back and put a few videos up there.
Sounds good.
All right. What we'll do is we'll step aside. We've got Brian LaPierre, city councilor, city of Lynn. Again, he's had one city council meeting he's attended so far. He has missed one. He's got another one next week. They're every other week. So just sworn in top 1st of January. So that interview's coming up, and then we'll do a quick check on sports, and we'll be back with you here in a few moments right here on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.
We are joined by Councilor-at-Large Brian LaPierre, city of Lynn, and Brian was sworn in on the 4th of January this year and has attended his first council meeting. But, Brian, welcome back. Good to see you.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
All right. Well, Brian, we've got a bunch of things to talk about from the city of Lynn. I want to start with, saw you in the paper in the Wednesday edition of the item, touring the new Marshall Middle School. So tell us about that. What did you see, and what's the new, which isn't open yet, but it will be open later this year.
Sure. No, the new Thurgood Marshall Middle School, it's going over on Brookline Street in Lynn. It's going to be a real gem of East Lynn. It's a state-of-the-art middle school. It's going to hold about 1,100 kids, Bill, from the previous site on Porter Street where I taught for many years. A vast improvement. Just being able to go into the new building like I did yesterday and see all of the newness of the rooms and various centers of learning. There's science labs, it's state of the art. There's working sinks and carts, and you go in and there's Superintendent Kathy Latham was big in supporting a well-rounded education that included home economics. So there's a sewing component, there's culinary arts program, there's a life skills program that's fully equipped. It's going to be a wonderful educational experience. The vastness of the building, it's all clustered and winged out. So what I mean by that is all the kids will be staying in a safe area of the school. They've broken down the school for the 1,100 kids into like 10 or 11 pods of the building. So you'd have about 100 kids in a cluster on average, and they'd all get their science and maths and English language arts and history. And then they'll also have a lot of elective time, which will include the arts, music, a full 1,200 square foot gymnasium, state-of-the-art, a kitchen and cafeteria that is like beyond belief. I was so pleased walking through it yesterday. I can't wait for that to to open up in late April. So it's really exciting for us.
Oh, you can't wait to get back to middle school. Huh?
Exactly. Heading back to middle school myself, I'll be happy and pleased. That was in my neighborhood that I grew up in. I was a Brickett kid and Marshall when it was Eastern Junior High and then on to English High School. So Marshall has a very special place in my heart. I know a lot of the faculty are still there and very supportive. And their educational quality, the teaching rigors are going to vastly improve over there because everyone's going to be, so happy about the environment that they're learning and being able to teach in and do so much more with technology. And they have CAD there, they have Cisco, they have all of the technology and computer-aided design and all those things that puts kids on the right path to high school and then eventually to post-high school and college. So exciting.
Absolutely. Brian, let's talk about another issue that you just you jumped into as a candidate, now as a counselor at large, and that's the Union Hospital issue with the possible closure of the hospital or the scheduled closure of the hospital and the reorganization to the North Shore Medical Center in Salem. So where's that at right now? I know there was a big hearing at City Hall in Lynn a week or so ago, another one follow-up in Salem at the Hawthorne Hotel. So where are we at?
Yes, the Department of Public Health hosted a couple of forums, public hearings, attended the Lynn one over at Lynn City Hall, as you alluded to, spoke obviously in opposition. I've been firmly in opposition on this issue for many months now throughout the campaign. And now as an elected official, we stand united, the whole council, the mayor, and all the stakeholders, really the community, are against the closure of a full-service hospital. We don't like the plan. We don't believe that the determination of need is as it was. They've been stripping vital services and all of the requirements from Union Hospital, shipping them over to Salem as a design to sort of limit the capacity for Union and what it does. And all the while, Partners is this huge hospital conglomerate that kind of gets to boss everyone around and pay huge prices for services rendered and at a premium cost that's 30% higher than what you would have gotten at a Lynn Community Health facility. So they're kind of like the giant of healthcare industry. And I'm hoping that Attorney General Healey's office with the Department of Public Health are going to see through this plan and make the determination that they must keep Lynn a full-service hospital for the 110,000 population that it serves. If you look at Greater Lynn, our 90,000 here, but 20,000 in the Peabody, Linfield, Saugus neighborhoods as well and communities, and really say that, enough is enough to Partners and keep it as a full-service hospital. I know that we're doing stakeholder interviews and talking about the needs of what the needs are of the community, not what the needs of Partners are, but what the needs of the Lynn community are. And, every survey and every response I get from my constituents are saying that it's a great hospital with great care. And what's going to happen to the workers there? What's going to happen to the neighborhood up there? What's going to happen to a senior population that, frankly, relies on those services? If you live in Upper Ward 1, Bill, off of Linfield Street, and your choice is to get to, they say, 5.6 miles away, that is crazy. It's a half hour to 40 minutes in bad traffic. Trying to get an access 107 over to Salem is nearly impossible. The only recourse there would be what? Wakefield, Melrose Wakefield, which is another 6 miles north of them. So they're really, and for the folks in Ward 7, deep in West Lynn, they have no recourse as well. Try to go from deep in West Lynn, from off of Boston Street to the nearest hospital, 107. It's equally impossible to do so, especially in a life and death emergency situation.
And I know at that hearing, a lot of folks came from places like Saugus, I think you were alluding to, from Linfield and from parts of Peabody that, funny, Peabody's close to the other unit as well, but at least at one part of the South Peabody there is very close to Union Hospital as well, certainly.
Absolutely. I have not come across a single elected official who is for the Partners expansion over in Salem. Those are in my walks and my talks with folks, and that's basically we stand united as elected officials to keep the hospital here where it's been and here where we thought it would always be. When we lost Boston Street Hospital, the original Lynn Hospital, the promise was to always keep a full-service hospital in Lynn. When Stop and Shop went in down there, I saw it. The council approved something in writing that talked to the new owners at that time was AtlanticCare and North Shore Medical Center to always remain as a full-service hospital to serve Lynn. When Partners got a hold of that, they reneged on the deal, and now we're faced 20 years later with this crisis of having no hospital for 90,000 residents.
One last question on this is: you mentioned the Attorney General Maura Healey. You also, but where, who makes who will make decisions? Is she does she make the decision, or is she just an appeal process off of a decision? And what's the timeline for the ref to make the call here?
Her office is in charge of the Department of Public Health. They make the determination of need and say whether or not there is the need to expand to Salem. But ultimately, yeah, it's going to be out of that DPH, the office of the DPH. So under her purview, but not a direct decision made by her. She's just there to enforce and make sure that the process was upheld and everything done legally.
I want to touch on maybe a couple of other issues with you, Brian, and that might be development issues here in the city of Lynn. We had the governor in the city several weeks ago now at City Hall. There's been the state's very much involved with some actions for development in the city of Lynn. You were there that day, and also there's a lot of different development things going on. Maybe you could just share a few highlights with us on that.
Sure. I mean, I'm happy to report that, you know, in 2016, during my term now as a city councilor, we kicked off in early January on the City Hall steps with every stakeholder from every various department in City Hall working on the same page, from the mayor to the current council to Congressman Seth Moulton. So we've got a partnership in place now with the governor's office that will include, you know, Secretary Ash as well. Jay Ash, who hails from Chelsea, is going to be spearheading a lot of this effort on economic development, working with our local leaders like Jim Cowdell, who's our economic development director, and making sure that Lynn is on the right pathway for success in an economically developed area, focusing again still on the downtown where we've had some success, but now branching out and building on into the waterfront area. I am told that there's going to be over $100 million in developmental projects that are ready to be permitted and be in the ground and shovels in the ground this spring for a real great implementation phase come the fall of 16. So we're going to see, for example, the new Market Basket scheduled for on Federal and Western Avenue, the old Factory of the Future plant. That is going to be raised, and a new building is going to be constructed. We hope a shovel in the ground April, May, and for a November opening is the potential for that. That's going to add in excess of 300 jobs locally. So for folks who work for a good company, who's reliable, who's going to be good to the neighbors down there, that's going to be a great, great accomplishment for the city economic development-wise. We're also focused on the waterfront, as we have been. We've gotten – the previous council has done a very good job in moving things like the power lines with National Grid and rezoning and making a permitting process much faster. So now when you come to Lynn and you want to develop, it makes it a lot easier to develop along that waterfront. And we're starting to do that with residences on top. We want to see density. We want to see people moving into the city. We want to see people moving into the waterfront in the downtown, frankly, because it's easy to get transport. You know, the T station is right there. The MBTA garage serves well there in that downtown area. So we're starting to see a lot of people come and stay in Lynn, work in Lynn, take the train back and forth to and from work, eat in Lynn, be part of our downtown arts and cultural district, which is one of only five designated across the state. And we see good things happening. We see the expansion of North Shore Community College. We see Beacon Chevrolet site on the move. That's been, starting to permit, and there'll be high-end apartments there that will be going in, breaking ground. That's a multi-million-dollar project where people are going to be able to access the beach from there with walk paths over to the ferry. And everything's starting to come together in Lynn. It's a really great and exciting time to not only be an elected official, but to be a resident here as well and really enjoy some of the fruits of a lot of people's labor.
Well, as you talk, Brian, during this interview, I'm struck with how big some of these things are you're talking about here and, that have been going on and, coming to a head here now. But also, as a counselor, there's a lot of little things that you have to deal with as well. So, maybe let's just close on that piece about some of the little things that, I mean, and you haven't even had your first snowstorm yet to get phone calls on, right?
That's true. You're right. And snow's a big thing in Lynn, especially, we have to be responsive. So a lot of my campaign was getting out and meeting people and talking to them, listening to them, learning from them. And now it's time to lead and on their behalf. So I'm getting a lot of calls. I'm very accessible. I continue to keep my Facebook page very active. My cell phone's virtually, very prominent. prominent. It's been on every piece of literature, I think, from the fall. People know how to get a hold of me, number one. But being able to utilize the council office to get things done. I mean, you know, picking up Christmas trees when they weren't picked up, you know, before the deadline, let's say. Small things. Still getting those calls to move street signs from one place to another. And even bigger issues that people have when they're faced with, you know, being evicted because someone bought their property and want to convert it into condos or get a higher rent. And these people are left with 14 and 28-day notices to be out of their homes that they've lived in for many years. So it's trying to navigate with various, sometimes city agencies. Other times it's just using real estate connections or personal connections that I know that we can help Lynners remain in Lynn and be a part of this community, whether it's housing or even our homeless crisis. You know, we've got a tremendous amount, up to 50 folks living in what we characterize as the tent city off of the Lynnway. So that population needs help. That needs compassion. That needs to be dealt with in a way that not everyone can deal with. So I'm trying to be as responsive as I can while also balancing my family and my regular job. And it is. I have a full plate, Bill, but, you know, I welcome the challenge and I really enjoy helping people. And that's why we get into this to begin with, you know.
Absolutely. You have a lot of energy. I would be remiss if I didn't end with something really crazy and stupid for you. But here's a fundraising idea for you. Embed a chip in yourself. You can sell that, and then your constituents can track you on their cell phones. Would that? How about that?
Well, that would be like instant. Yeah, that would be instant constituent service. It reminds me of the new chips that are in all these credit cards that you must use now, right?
You got it.
So if you need LaPierre, you just put your chip in, and yes, program me, and I'm ready to serve.
Yeah, there you are. They'll track you down, follow you. You know,
technology
is an idea.
Not that, get that advanced, Bill.
Not that accessible. All right, Brian. Always good talking with you, and best of luck, and congratulations again on the election.
Thank you so much, Bill. Always a pleasure. Great seeing you again,
Brian LaPierre. Councilor at Large, City of Lynn on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we've got sports coming up this weekend. Bill, I will be up in Gloucester, hockey game, weather permitting, from the O'Malley rink, the Talbot rink at the O'Malley School. I want to remind people that we do have Trending Now with Josh Arnold on Thursday. He's got some brand new guests lined up for this Thursday. And I'll also be going up to Newburyport High School on Thursday to talk with the athletic director up there and get some updates from Newburyport Sports.
Couple of notes here. We have a post up on the Lynn Jets. They knocked off Winthrop last night, 2-1. Interesting game, and we have a feature with three of their players, and also a radio interview with their coach. So that's up there, and so I hope you check that out. Big win for them yesterday. They knocked off Winthrop 2-1, 9-0-1. What's interesting in that game, Rick, is that it was 0-0, 3.5 minutes into the third period when Lynn scores, and it stays that way, 1-0 till the very near the very end. Winthrop pulls the goaltender, and Lynn scores their second goal of the game to go up 2-0. And then right after that, Winthrop comes back to make it a 2-1 game, and then the fury is on. But Lynn holds on, wins the game, and the Lynn Jets win and go 9-0-1. So they're having a great year, so congratulations to them. We do have a post up on that. We'll pick our basketball game today. We'll get that word out there a little bit later on today as to what basketball game we're going to be doing tomorrow night. And you mentioned the snow, Rick, but it looks like the snow is holding off. The last weather I heard till like 5 o'clock on Saturday in our area at the earliest, and then not a huge storm for us, but who knows? It's a huge storm, but they're pretty confident about it. Just amazing how they do this stuff nowadays. So that's what we got. All right, and also a little salute, a little shout-out to the Saugus girls basketball team, a team that had just one win a year ago. They beat Northeast, so they're having a much better year at Saugus girls basketball this year. So a little shout-out to the team and their coach for what they're doing this year in Saugus. So that'll do it with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on North Shore today on MSONewsSports.com.